Generation Now. My name is Troy McDonald, and this is the show by and for millennials and Gen Z. As you know, we are all facing unprecedented times with the crisis that is COVID-19. And so right now, I have a very special guest, Bob Haggerty, who is one of the smartest people I know, financial expert in Kenosha, to kind of help us walk through how millennials and Gen Z, how we can kind of take stock of this situation and maybe even take advantage of the situation in the market. So, Bob, thank you so much for being with us.
Noah, thanks so much for having me, Troy. It's a really important conversation to be having, not only with the people getting ready to retire, but the young people, those millennials that are starting that goal of being able to retire at some point at the end of their work life.
100%. So, Bob, let's just first take stock. Tell us where we're at right now. I know that's a large question, big question, but from what you're seeing, what's kind of the lay of the land right now, the lay of the markets?
Well, let's take a look at where we were, where we are, and maybe where we're going. First of all, I think you have to take a look at where we were. Exceptionally strong stock market in February, hitting multiple highs. Everything seemed to be clicking on all cylinders. Now, I'm not going to tell you that everybody was participating in that upward gain. We could sit and do hours of discussion over inequity compared to the haves and the have-nots. But the haves were certainly doing well in February. As we moved into March, there was more and more risk that came in due to the COVID virus. And that started to highlight in China when they started closing down cities. You had 85 million people at one point in January that would be basically being told they can't leave the house. And then President Trump started to put some limits as to people coming into the United States and what would happen. And the market immediately took notice, and they took notice for a couple of reasons. And that is, it affected airlines, it affected cruise ships, and it affected their stock prices and started to go down. Now we're in the month of March and everything starts to hit the fan. And the market itself came off about 35% off of that high that had been reached at the end of February. And that then was made that much worse as we see people they've lost their jobs. And those individuals then are furloughed by April 1st. And to put this in perspective, we're waiting for a number, as you and I talk on Thursday's number, but we know that in the last 3 weeks, there's been 22 million people that have applied for unemployment. So you have the good, you've got the really bad in March, and now we have the ugly in April. And the question is, where are we going to be as we go into May? We're going to hear unemployment numbers. I do believe that we will have more people, the unemployment number will be larger than the highest number that occurred in 2008, and that was just below 10%, 9.9, if my memory serves me. And we could very well be in that 12.5% to 15% unemployment number, and knowing that that is with literally, anecdotally, millions of people that have not been able to sign up for unemployment because they can't get through. So let's wrap this all the way around and talk a little bit about where people were in investing. People, the millennials out there, were looking and saying prices were pretty high in their 401k. Now the prices went way down. The market has rebounded. It's down 15, 18, 20% in that neighborhood for instead of 35% that we were at the beginning of the month. So a big run up. What should they be doing? There's something called dollar cost averaging. Dollar cost averaging is where you invest a little bit of money at periodically placed times over a long period of time to be able to smooth out the highs and the lows, and hopefully to be able to have a better opportunity to make money in the market. And that's what we're talking about in your 401k. Your 401k dollar cost averages into the market. So in February, you were putting your money in at highs. At the end of March, you were putting your money in and buying a lot more because the market had gone down significantly. And now we're someplace in between. The big question we have to look at then is, what are we going to be looking at down the road? How long will it be down the road to be able to see a recovery? And that's where we really have to listen to our medical professionals. The market itself, at least at the time that this all took place, was all the copper piping was intact. We were okay as far as the way the market was functioning. That's not the way that we've seen. Earlier this week, I'm sure everybody had heard about the oil prices, where the May future actually went to minus $37 a barrel. What does that mean? They would pay you $37 to come and get a barrel of oil. That's what that means. Completely unrealistic. We had never gone negative before, let alone $37 a barrel. And it tells you just how scared, how afraid the markets are about where we are and how long it can take to get where we were previously. So dollar cost averaging is taking advantage of those lows and hoping that over a long period of time that we'll retouch those highs again. And I don't see that happening until we have some type of a, vaccine. There you go. A vaccine itself. But I do think that we will have ups and downs in the market that you can take advantage of in that dollar cost averaging effort.
Right. And what sectors do you think are going to really play a factor here? Because obviously some sectors, maybe like travel, are going to take longer to come around maybe than the food sector, restaurant sector. So as a millennial, as we're looking to participate in this kind of dollar cost averaging, should we cast a wide net and kind of stay firm with the sectors our 401ks were already in, or the sectors we were already in, or should we be looking at other new possibilities here?
Well, I'm a big one in belief in diversification. We don't know what's going to be big into the market. So I look at a lot of the millennials and think that diversify, diversify, diversify. And that can be done using a very low cost index, maybe an S&P index, maybe a NASDAQ index, maybe a combination thereof. You can do a broad market index that does the NASDAQ, it does the S&P, it does the Dow, it does some international. But you want to look at something, in my opinion, that has a lot of diversification. And you want to do that at the lowest price possible. So do your homework and make sure that when you're looking at it, that you're looking at the internal costs and that those costs are as low as possible.
Right. Let's talk about Gen Z a little bit. Gen Z, they're in high school, they're entering college. A lot of them are working in fast food places, movie theaters. What are the prospects, in your opinion, for those workers coming back and being able to participate in the labor force? Obviously, you could have answered this already, right? The vaccine, maybe without that. But we're starting to see some states open up their economies, open up theaters, open up restaurants. What's your word to those workers?
Be patient. So my first thing to say is that be patient. Second is that expect multiple waves of this virus. The head of the CDC came out late yesterday and said that this winter may actually be worse than what we're experiencing now, because it's going to come at the time in which the flu season would be at its peak as well. So be patient. Hopefully, I believe in our scientists. I believe that we trust science and we trust the data, and that we will find a vaccine and we will come back to normalcy. But it may be that year, it may be 18 months, it may be 2 years for us to be able to find that. And that's a scary thing. It's a scary thing for an old guy that's going to be 54 soon, let alone to that 16, 17, 18-year-old that they're just looking to start their lives. They want to go to college. They have a relationship. They want to do so many things in their life, and they don't want to wait for that to happen. So I know what I'm saying isn't something that people are going to like, but it really is. Be patient as you're looking to be able to start your life outside of your home.
Quickly here before we head on out, I want to talk about housing, right? How can millennials who might be purchasing their first or second home take advantage of this market?
Well, first of all, this market's scary right now. Think about, we have 22 million people in 3 weeks that have lost their jobs. If we want to take a look at the studies, say that 80% of people have less than $1,000 backup. And of that 80%, 40% have $100 or less.
Unbelievable.
So the first, it is, but that is what, you know, that's what we're looking at as far as, because of student loans, you're paying back debt, you're trying to pay for rent, you may have children. So many people are not being paid what they're worth, and it has definitely affected the ability to be able to deal with this. So the first thing I will tell you is, before you worry about a house, put 6 months money away, not in the market, because the market can go down. Put it into a savings account, put it into a monthly CD that you can get to, and make sure you have 6 months worth of money. And what would you cover? Rent or your mortgage, utilities, food, all of your basics that you pay every single month. You need to have money put away for 6 months to be able to do that. And it's important in a couple ways. Number one, if you lose your job, that gives you time. And number two, if you get ill and you need to take time off, it covers you. Or in a situation like this, that really, let's hope, is a once in a multi-generational experience. So for those individuals that are looking to save because you have goals, start with 6 months of an emergency fund. At that point, then put some money, you can start putting money away and dollar cost average that again. If you're going to look at the housing market, I think that you're going to see a tremendous decrease in the purchase price of homes. And that's going to start after Christmas, probably in 2021, as a number of people go into foreclosure. Now, this is the troubling thing of what we're dealing with. And that is, you may not have to pay your mortgage now, but that doesn't mean you don't have to catch up on your mortgage. So if you're not getting extra money in and you still have to catch up, when they take these safeguards away, and they will later in the year, they're going to look and say, now you should have caught up, but you may not be working yet. And you may, if you did, not have the ability to put money away to be able to catch up. And you're going to find out that you're in foreclosure. So there's going to be a number of houses, in my opinion, in 2021, maybe approaching that 2008-2009 debacle, which brought prices so far down. That's so, number one. Number two, this causes a huge strain on renters, because there's all these people that will be moving out of their homes and into the rental market. So do not be surprised as homes go down in price, rents go up.
Right. Bob Haggerty, thank you so much. Tell people how they can get a hold of you if they have any questions. Of course,
well, you can
just such an asset.
Oh, so they can listen Monday through Friday right here on WGTD at about 12:15 for the Market Minute. And if they have questions, of course, give a call, 262-764-9246. It's always a pleasure to be able to talk with you, Troy.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Bob. When we come back on Generation Now, we'll be talking with Tyler Schuerman, who is a commentator at UW-Whitewater, who's been practically sent home. There are no college sports. He's going to fill us in on the latest. Stay tuned. You're listening to Generation Now. And we're back on Generation Now. This is WGTD 91.1 FM. I'm here now with Tyler Schuerman, who is the lead commentator at UW-Whitewater and their broadcast outfit, UWWTV. Tyler, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I've been hanging in there over the last month and a half since I got back from Whitewater, and have been pretty much taking precautions and staying safe and quarantined inside my house while, you know, keeping up the schoolwork, trying to finish out the semester pretty strong.
Right. So you only have I don't know if we're on the same semester schedule, but you only have a few weeks left. I have like 2 weeks left on my end.
I have about after this week, about three to four. Okay. Our semester ends in the middle of May.
Okay. Ooh, no, mine ends May 9th. That's the day of the final, the day the final is due for us. So.
Oh, yeah.
So talk about that transition. I mean, you were on campus. You get a letter, basically pack up your stuff and go home.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. Just, you know, I was in the midst of living the good life, you know. I just, it was the week after coming off of WBA, which I, you know, managed to pick up 3 awards there. And then managed to announce on the same weekend 2 NCAA regional basketball games for the women's the women's basketball. So that was awesome, and just it happened so suddenly, and I pretty much just got the email the night before, and it said you know, we're closing schools, you're starting spring break a week early instead of a week later. So it was a 2-week spring break, and then they pretty much just acted pretty quickly within a week and a half, and said all classes will be moved to online for the rest of the semester. And pretty much we managed to go back to Whitewater about a week and a half later, just to pick up all my stuff. And it took a little bit to get back into that groove after those first 2 weeks of spring break and get used to the online curriculum, because when you're at home, Troy, you know, it's hard to stay focused and motivated, because it's easy to procrastinate, and it's hard to stay motivated when you have all these other distractions around the house, such as maybe a guitar or television and your brothers too. So it's difficult.
Absolutely. And so basically we're friends outside of this. And I should mention, folks, I am talking to the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association award-winning broadcaster, Tyler Schuerman. Okay, I forgot to mention that on the top. three awards. But no, like, I can totally relate to that. Now, I've done online learning for a lot of my bachelor's degree and now for my master's degree at Harvard. But so I'm still kind of used to it. But I don't have brothers. Like, I have my own like, I can't even imagine having to share space and still trying to focus. But the good news is, I think your other brothers are in college and school too, so they're still trying to do their work.
Yeah, that's correct. My littlest brother, who's 15 and a half, Eli, he's been keeping busy with activities that they've given him. He's a sophomore at Bradford High School in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and it's not graded. Those activities aren't graded, but he's managed to stay busy with those. And then Brendan, who's just turned 19 in February, he's actually a freshman at Whitewater, and he's been doing online classes too. I share a room with him actually downstairs in our basement, but we've been able to respect each other enough to give each other respect and quiet when we need to get things done. And we got other rooms around the house too, to kind of split up and go work in a quiet environment.
Right. And the good news is that your classes, like mine, well, my class was a live class, or I had to be there. And there's a class on Harvard's campus, and then there's a class that's kind of watching that take place, and we can interact. Well, because of this, all of it's being pre-recorded and canned, and we just watch it when we can. So I think those are your courses too, that it's just pre-recorded, you watch it, and then you do the work.
Yeah, that's correct. We have a service called Canvas, which is where you turn in all your assignments online on that the campus uses, all classes use it at Whitewater, and all those lectures are pre-recorded too. And some of my teachers aren't even doing lectures; they're just making easy assignments. Making assignments on the discussion board section in that app, and just having us do it just to get some points. It's not just frustrating for students too, but it's frustrating for teachers as well.
Oh yeah, and don't want to sell that short, because they had their whole curriculum planned for an in-person class, right? Mm-hmm. And to be able to switch everything on 2 weeks' notice, that's difficult. And I also think K-12 parents are learning just how hard teachers work as well to keep their students, their young students, engaged in the classroom. So are you guys pass or fail at Whitewater? Because for us, we're still being letter graded, but are you pass or fail?
That there is a choice, I believe. I got an email saying there was going to be a choice for, finishing out with credit or no credit. So I think for me, I'm going to take the credit, obviously. It's just going to help towards GPA, since I'm doing pretty good in all my classes, but we do have that option.
Oh, well, that's a shocker. Not a shocker. Doing well in all your classes, goodness. So as I mentioned on the top, you're a commentator at Whitewater, the lead guy there, the man. Essentially also, not only were you sent home school-wise, but your spring sports season essentially gone. Talk about hearing about that. UWTV basically sent home packing, doing a lot of stuff virtually, but not the same as the in-studio experience. So when you first heard, hey, there's no spring sports, what went through your mind?
I was just crushed. I was crushed as much as the athletes were, because this is why I'm here, to be at the TV station and to get that experience. It just takes away from the college experience by not being there. And I mean, we do have alternatives, but there's nothing like being at the station and being a part of those live events. And that's what fuels me. I love telling stories, and I love, participating in live events, and I don't get to do that for the rest of the semester. And it's unfortunate. And it's unfortunate for the athletes too, who have trained hard and worked hard. And a lot of those seniors who don't get to experience maybe a what if season, what if this didn't happen, what if we could win it all. And it's unfortunate for them. And it's unfortunate for us broadcasters. And what we're doing right now for UWTV, just smaller assignments that we could work on with, Adobe services and apps such as Premiere Pro and Photoshop. The station has a set up Google Share Drive with different kind of projects to caption, but that's pretty much it. Then I also have my show, and that's been reworked from a planned 6 episodes now to 4 episodes. So we're 3 episodes done. We just did a WebEx show a couple weeks ago, or actually it aired last week, but we filmed a couple weeks ago, and we had to just work at that and add B-roll. And it wasn't as fun as being at the studio, I'll tell you that.
Right. And WebEx, for those who don't know, which I'm guessing a lot of people are familiar, but it's like a version of Skype or Zoom, just another version of that. So you guys were basically hosting the show from there and then editing that and putting that out. And it was a shorter show too. Usually it's like what, typical 29 minute format, and this one was like 12 minutes.
Yeah, with commercials, about 27 and a half to 30 minutes. But this was a total of commercials, 12 minutes, about 9 minutes in actual video content. So we worked with it. I had fun with it. It was a different approach to it. It was fun. I really liked putting the video together as we do. When we do it in the studio, we tape live. So we do less post-production, more pre-production. So I was doing more post-production on this show just because it was pre-recorded. I had fun with it and had the ability to add B-roll, videos and media images from the web.
And the thing, too, about Pit Pass is that it won first place this year at the mm-hmm. WBAs. It was the top dog. And for it to be just, and this was a new season. I think you submitted the pilot and it got first place. I mean, that yes. never happens. I mean, of course it's you, but yeah, but still, so to have all of that momentum, right, on your sails and then for it to be pulled away. I mean, and again, it's the right thing. I'm not advocating. I don't want people to take what I'm saying out of context, right? We should believe the scientists, right? We should believe the people who are trying to keep our health and safety first and foremost, right? But yes. it's still something that sucks.
Yeah, it does really suck. And it's just not, everyone's affected. It's not just one person that's affected. Everyone is affected and we're all in this together. And with Pit Pass, yeah, I mean, that was a total shock when they called us up to receive the first place award for the pilot that we filmed last year. I sent in the best 5 minutes I thought of that segment, which was the segment that we did the Kyle Busch driver profile on, and it was the excitement level there when I heard it was just, I couldn't believe it. I paused and just was like, what did they really just call it? It was such a thrill. And then Matt couldn't believe it either, and he was funny. He told me, he's like, yeah, Tyler, how do we win this, man? I was looking at my paper the whole time in that on that segment. So it was just a awesome moment. And to have all that momentum, Troy, was awesome. To come back with having it be an award show, it's a piece of WWTV history pretty much forever. And we were all on it. We were excited. We had all that momentum, and it kind of just halted, and we had to just go the alternative route, and I'm thankful that we still get to do it in a different way.
So what's the latest that you're hearing about UWW sports this fall? Obviously, conversations are happening, but Boston University came out this week and said, yeah, we're done for fall. Urbana College closed their entire operation. They said, students are, not only are you done this semester, you're done forever. You got to find another school. What are you hearing around campus about coming back this fall, the potential of having maybe no fans in the crowd, maybe still offering the broadcast, but no fans in the crowd? What have you heard?
I haven't heard much about it, but as of now, everyone is planning on returning to normal in the fall. Football's plan to go on. I don't know what, as we loom closer to September, what they're going to do maybe with the fans and the crowd or whatever. Are they even going to have these games? We don't know. But as of now, these games are on. And I think they could maybe play the games without the fans in the crowd, if that comes to be a situation, have the broadcasters there, calling the players on the field that, you know, can get regularly tested before each game just to see if they're sick or not. And everything right now, I mean, our summer courses, they're all going to be online this semester. For fall, they haven't said anything yet. I'm hoping they don't jump the gun that early, because there's a lot of time left. There's over 4 months left until we get to September.
Right. Tyler, we're out of time. I cannot thank you enough for being on the program and just sharing your insights and your experience as the head guy over there at UWW-TV and helping to tell the stories of so many people. How can people get in contact with you or follow you and what you're doing at UWW-TV?
You can follow me on LinkedIn. That's Tyler Scheuermann, TylerScheuermann. You should find me there. Still say UWTV as my job title, so you could find me on LinkedIn. You could look me up on pitpasstv.com. You can find all the episodes of the Pit Pass too, and they're through our UWWTV YouTube channel as well. We have 3 episodes up as of now, so that's how you guys can maybe watch the episodes if you're interested.
Yeah, if you love NASCAR, and really if you just love good broadcasting, gotta go check out Pit Pass UWWTV on YouTube. You got to do that. So Tyler, thank you so much for being on the program.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Troy. It's always a pleasure.
Alrighty, folks. We will see you next week. Until next time. Bye, everybody.